Well, it is the time of new things. Maybe it's new things that you got as presents at Christmas time, and so you're enjoying those new things. Or maybe it's just this new year thing, this whole new year that stretches out in front of us, and its newness is there for us. But the paradox is that new things can be both exciting and sometimes terrifying. Things that we look forward to and things that we're a wee bit apprehensive about. They're exciting because they're new, because they're unknown, because they're there to be explored, they're there to be discovered, and there's some excitement and all of that. But the strange thing is that they're also a wee bit terrifying because they're new, because they're unknown, because they're there to be explored and discovered. The very things that excite us can also make us a wee bit anxious about what lies ahead. And it's true of so many things. Even things that we look forward to, there's sometimes that wee tinge of apprehension. We're not quite sure whether it will live up to all that we think it will, and we're a wee bit concerned about it. So whether it's about a new home, a new job, a new relationship, or even a new year, there's this tension going on in us between excitement and a wee bit of anxiety. And so we have in front of us a clean page of a new year, 2016, stretching out in front of us, this clean page. And it's exciting. But what will be written on that page? The passage which Christine read for us from the book of Isaiah, and I encourage you to open up your Bibles on Isaiah 43. This little passage in Isaiah 43 was written at a time when the nation of Israel was facing this new thing challenge. The nation had been in exile in Babylon. They had been sent off to Babylon, dragged off to Babylon because of their disobedience to God. Because they continually ended up worshiping either other non-gods or other things in their lives, they just took their eyes off God. And to bring them back to their senses, God sends them into exile in Babylon. Would they stay there forever? Would they always be separated from the things which they held dear? If you were to look at Psalm 137, you find something of what's going on in the hearts of these people as they now live in Babylon, far from home, when the psalmist simply writes, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion, when we remembered Jerusalem." How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? There's something of that heartbreak in the people of Israel taken away from their own place and put into exile. Would they stay there forever? No, they wouldn't. God, in his grace and his mercy, promises to bring them back home. And that's what this little passage in Isaiah 43 is about. God has promised to bring his people home. He has promised to set them free. And now they look to the future. They've been enslaved in Babylon, but if you read verse 14 of that chapter 43, the very ships of which the Babylonians were proud, those ships would carry the Babylonians away as they ran away from another nation that would conquer them. And God would set his people free. That's grace. Did they deserve to be set free? Probably not. They had turned their backs on God so many times. But God, in his grace and mercy, sets them free. And now they can travel back home. Now they can do that new thing that they have longed for and prayed for and hoped for and dreamt about for so long. They can go back home. But it's not just so straightforward. It's quite likely that the only people now who could make that journey, which was probably 800 or 900 miles back to Israel. The only people who could probably make that journey were those who had been born during the exile, who were young enough and fit enough and strong enough to make that journey. To them, it was just what they'd been told. They were excited because it was something new that was held out to them, offered to them, promised to them. But they knew nothing else than Babylon. It wasn't home, but that's where they'd grown up. That's where their any sense of security they had belonged, in Babylon. Jerusalem was a long way off. Perilous journeys involved in getting there, across the desert, across the wilderness, through unknown territory. But it wasn't just the unknown territory that would have concerned them. They also would have wondered, well, what actually waits for us when we get there? I know my parents and grandparents have talked about this wonderful land back in Jerusalem, but what waits when we get there? Because when you read through the prophet Isaiah, it's very clear that it's a barren land now. It has been destroyed. It's not the land of milk and honey that their parents and grandparents would have talked about. So this exciting, terrifying thing is going on in their heads as they set off. So God speaks to reassure them as they head off into this new unknown thing. Verses 16 and 17 of this chapter. God, first of all, stops them and asks them to look over their shoulder, to look back. Looks back to former things. This is what the Lord says, verse 16. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Remember the former things, says God. Look back. Remember what I did for you. Retreat into the memories that I've given you. It's the story of Exodus, of the nation of Israel leaving slavery in Egypt, and they find themselves caught between this rock and a hard place, between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, and they are trapped. There's no way out of this. The sea lies in front of them, and this vengeful army coming in behind them, but God rescues them. Remember the former things, says God. Remember the former things. When you thought everything was lost, I was there with you and for you. Remember those former things. Now, what do they do as they remember? They could simply retreat into those memories and hold on to them so dearly when the future becomes either unclear or frightening, and they just stick to their past that they know. Or they can look back and they can see how gracious and how kind and how merciful God has been to them, and that can be a springboard to launch them into the future that God has for them. Isaiah encourages people to look back, but he doesn't want them to retreat into the past. He wants them to remember the wilderness. Remember that it has been conquered before. Remember that God hasn't changed in his faithfulness and grace. And that God goes before them, as this little passage says, to make a way in the desert. They're called to be witnesses for God. They're called to proclaim his goodness. They're called to speak out the good news of the God who has rescued them, but they can't do that if they're stuck in the past. They can only do that as they move forward confident in the God who is still with them. It doesn't take away from their past. It doesn't take away from the great things that God has done in Israel's history. Quite the opposite, in fact. It drives them forward. Because now they can move forward confident, not in themselves, not in knowing and understanding everything that is around them and ahead of them, but confident in the God who promises to be with them. The God who hasn't changed in his purposes or in his character. but the God who is doing new things. It's interesting, one of the names that God gives to his people for himself is simply, I am. Way back in Egypt, when Moses asked, who will I say has sent me? God says, I am. Not I was or I will be, but I am. I'm with you here in the present, in this moment. The God of the present. But the lesson that Israel had to learn over and over and over again, that the God who had been with them in their past was with them in their present and would lead them into the future. But they're not the only ones that have to learn and relearn that lesson. As we face the unknown of a new year, most of last year's news stories were not good news stories. Personally, we wonder, what will 2016 bring? Now, the options are we can retreat into what we call the good old days. We can bask in the glory of those good old days when things were better, when things were easier, when the news wasn't always as depressing as it can be. Or we can use the experience of God's faithfulness and grace to move forward, to move into the unknown, to move into a new year. Israel could very well have locked themselves into the history of the Exodus from Egypt, but they weren't called to do that. They were called to live out the implications of that Exodus from Egypt, where God had placed them. And so Isaiah says, remember the former things, remember how good God was to you, remember how God rescued you back then. Well, he hasn't changed. He's the one who will lead you and guide you and protect you and bring you forward. Live in the implications of who God is. And it's the same for us. In a few minutes, we'll gather around the Lord's table. And we will recall with humble gratitude all that God has done for us through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But recalling it doesn't mean that we're called to live on a hillside outside Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It doesn't mean that we're called to live beside an empty grave from all those years ago. We're called to live out the implications of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ here and now. We're called to realize our dependence on God's grace. We're called to realize our need to be forgiven and to forgive. We're called to live in the power of the resurrection here and now. That's what this is about. Remember the former things, but see, I'm doing a new thing. Communion calls us to remember all that God has done for us in Jesus. But our direction of movement is never backwards. Our direction of movement is onward and upward towards God, what God has called us to. Because of what Jesus has done, our gaze can be ever forward to what God will yet do. It's not that God goes back and rewrites or reshapes or remolds what he has done for us. It's that God calls us to live where he has placed us, calls us to live here and now in the knowledge and experience of his goodness and grace. So he calls us into a deeper relationship with Jesus, to more fully understand and experience his grace He calls us to have a greater desire to glorify Him and enjoy Him, not just in 2016, but forever. We look back with thankfulness as we remember all that God has done for us. And that gives us confidence and reassurance to move forward. Because forward is the direction of God's people. Not standing still, not looking backwards, but moving forwards. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. This is the promise of our God. And to Him be all praise and glory.